Welcome to my podcast. I will endeavor to post a weekly episode, and you can find me at wakeupsaints.com. I hope you will be blessed by these messages I feel that God has given me to share with you. Why Wake Up Saints? Because the church has been asleep for a very long time. Jesus is getting ready to come back for a church without spot or wrinkle very soon. Please share with your friends the good news. Jesus is coming back very soon. Today's lesson is going to be on repentance. But first, let us pray. Jesus, I ask that the words I speak be your words, and that it will do the work that you intend. I ask that you anoint me to speak with the right spirit, and anoint the hearers to receive your words in Jesus' name. Many know that repentance is the first step for a Christian to receive salvation. I ask God, what is the hindrance for Christians to not want to repent? I felt impressed in my spirit that it is because of pride that a person does not want to repent. And it is because of fear of offending someone to not tell them that they need to repent. But Jesus told Peter he would give him the keys to heaven, and the keys Peter gives us is found in Acts 2:38, and it reads, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Notice the first key is repentance. Why? For the remission of sins, to be forgiven, to be pardoned. Repentance is more than just saying you're sorry for what you have done. It is a turning away from continuing to sin. What does it mean to repent? The dictionary says repent is a verb that means to feel sorry, self-reproachful, or contrite for past conduct, regret, or be conscience-stricken about a past action or an attitude, etc. An example given is he repented after his thoughtless act. Number two, to feel such sorrow for sin or fault as to be disposed to change one's life for the better. Be penitent. Repentance is an essential part of salvation. Telling God you are sorry for what you have done, confessing your sins, and turning away from sin, including the sins in your heart. I do not believe you can be saved without repentance. We must repent before we can receive the Holy Ghost. Please don't let pride cause you to skip this step. It is a must in order to receive the Holy Ghost. In fact, we need to have a habit of repenting every day. We all make mistakes and need to repent daily. Genuine repentance begins, but by no means ends, with heartfelt conviction of sin. It begins with recognition, an eye-opening, heart-rendering awareness of having defied God by embracing what he despises and being indifferent towards what he adores. Repentance, therefore, involves knowing in one's heart, this is wrong. I have sinned. God is grieved. The reverse of recognition is rationalization. The pathetic attempt to justify one's moral negligence by any number of appeals. It is often too easy for us to justify our sins to ourselves and to others. Too often we live in self-denial of our transgressions, refusing to acknowledge that we have sinned against a holy God. Matthew 3:1-2 says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And John the Baptist's ministry was repentance. He baptized unto repentance. Jesus' ministry was also repentance. In Matthew 4:17, it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Luke 13:3, he says, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Mark 1:15 says, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. In Mark 2:17, when Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Notice again, he is telling the sinners, you must repent. You must repent. In Luke 15:7, he says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Luke 15:10 says, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. I don't know about you, but I would have thought the angels would have rejoiced over someone receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost more than over repentance, or being baptized over more than just being repenting, showing an outward acceptance and having their sins washed away, that they would rejoice over there. But it says over repentance they rejoice. This tells me how very important repentance is. The Bible says no sin can enter into heaven. Therefore, we must repent daily. Paul said, I die daily, meaning I repent and die to my flesh on a daily basis. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. In Acts 8:22. It's no longer that we repent for what we've done. We've also got to repent for what we have thought in our hearts. Matthew 12:34 says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We don't know the wickedness of our hearts until our words reveal our heart. In Acts 11:18 says, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Mark 6:12 says, and they went out and preached that men should repent. It doesn't matter who you are, if you're Jew or Gentile, man or woman, adult or child, we all must repent. And true repentance is the only way to have our sins removed and blotted out of the book of life. True repentance meaning not lip repentance, but heart repentance, being genuinely sorry. Too many of us don't have heart repentance. We do it out of obedience, but it's not in our heart. It's got to get in our heart. The heart that we are sorry that we have grieved a holy God. Sorry for our inadequacies. Sorry for the thoughts that have been in our minds. In Mark 7:6, he said, he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Let's not be that generation. Let's not be that people that it's in our lips, but it is not in our hearts for true repentance. Mark 7:21 says, "Far from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murderers." We don't want to be in that category. Let's be like David, who said, "Create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit." In Acts 26:20, we read, "But show forth unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet," which means suitable for repentance. We also read in Luke 24:47, it says, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name." His name is Jesus, "among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." So we know that this is not just to the Jews. It is not just to Jerusalem. It is to the world that we must repent, because that is the only way our sins we have remission of our sins, is through repentance. You'll notice in David's prayer in Psalms 32, he begins by saying, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Covered by what? By the blood of Jesus. That's how our sins are covered. That's how our sins are washed away. It is through the blood of Jesus. And where do we go? We go to the foot of the cross, for at the foot of the cross is the blood that washes away our sins. It is at the foot of the cross that we must lay down our sins. It is at the foot of the cross that we lay down our ambitions and our hopes and our fears, and we pick up the cross of Jesus to carry, the cross that he's given us to carry, and to do it with joy, with all joy, and repent daily, and repent daily. We must die daily for our failures to pick up the cross, our failures to lay it all on the cross. Instead, we take it to our friends. We take our hurts and our wounds to our friends, and we share with them the things that have wounded us, the people that have wounded us. We have sowed discord. We have gossiped instead of taking it to Jesus, who is our confidant. We must learn to take it to Jesus, all of our hurts, all of our wounds. We must take it to the foot of the cross. Give it to Jesus. Give it all our broken dreams to Jesus. That is what we must do. But David went on and said in verse 5 of Psalms 32, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Selah. "For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him." Notice in verse 6 that we must pray in a time that can be found. We don't know when God might shut that door. We don't know when we might pass that time and it's too late. We must be ready for his soon coming. We must be ready for when he calls us to come home. Whether we're ready or not, we will stand before a holy God, and we will be judged by a holy God. And the things that we have not repented of will be before us and between us and a holy God. Do you understand that sin cannot enter heaven? Do you understand that every fault, every idle word that we have spoken, every sin we have knowingly committed will be before us in God if we have not repented and put it under the blood? The blood was on the cross. We must go to the foot of the cross where Jesus was slain for our salvation, for our sins. He was sinless. He didn't commit a sin, but we have committed many, many sins. And with that goodness that he has, with that love that he has, the love that held him to the cross, it is with that love we kneel before and we ask and we petition to a holy God to forgive us. And it is not just a lip service. And we can't just say, God, forgive me of my sins. No, we have got to learn to start naming those sins, acknowledging those sins, acknowledging we spoke words that we should not have spoken, acknowledge that we have gone to a place that maybe we should not have gone to. Maybe we need to repent for not having the prayer life that we should have, not reading his word that we should read, being grateful for the freedom, if you live in America, to pray, the freedom to read the word of God, that any time we pick up his word, it teaches us to know him. It teaches us to learn of him, what pleases him and what does not. How will you know if you've sinned if you do not know his laws? If you do not know his word, how do you know if you have sinned? Are you dependent on another man to teach you? That is good if you're listening to a man of God. But the Bible says, seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There's too many wolves in sheep clothing in this last hour. You better get in the Word of God for yourself. You better start repenting for not reading the Word of God for yourself. You better repent for not praying as you should, because you don't know the days that are before us. But we know a God that does. And if you're right with Him, He will tell you, his friends, what is coming, what is before us. Oh, my friend, please learn to forgive others. Please learn to forgive yourself. And please, I beg of you, learn to repent. Because if you're called in an hour from now and you stood before a holy God, what would you say when he starts naming your sins you never repented of? You will be ashamed. Oh, yes, my friend, you will be ashamed. You will be ashamed to the marrow of your bones. You will be ashamed. And you will remember that you had an opportunity to repent, but you turned away from it. You're too proud to repent. You'll never make heaven. You've got to learn to repent. It must become second nature to you. When you get up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, during the day, you must learn to repent. We all have come short on our repentance. We must learn to spend time at the altar of the tabernacle. The first furniture that you come to is the altar. The brazen altar was where the sacrifices were performed. It's where you brought an unblemished animal that you had paid for to make a sacrifice for what you did wrong, not the animal. The animal was innocent. Just as Jesus was innocent and went to a cross so that we could repent, so that we could come to the foot of the cross and ask God to please forgive us for our sins and shortcomings, to create in us a clean heart, renew in us a right spirit. We must learn to repent before a holy God. We must not push it off and say, oh, I'll do that later. We have no guarantee of later. We've been blessed that we've been able to have a later, but we have no guarantee of a future later. We have got to take this seriously, because God says in his word, he's coming back for a church without spot and without wrinkle. You better wake up, saints. He's coming back for a church without spot, without wrinkle. And if you haven't repented of every sin, you've got spots. and you've got wrinkles. If you've been sleeping in your garments, you've got wrinkles. You better wake up, for he's coming back. It is my prayer that you would join me in praying, God, wake up the church. Wake up the church. Wake up the church. I hope this episode of part one on repentance has been a blessing to you. You can find me at wakeupsaints.com if you have any comments that you want to share. And I pray that you will heed this call that I feel God has given to the church. Repent. We must repent. His word is full of calling us to repentance. May God bless you. In Jesus' name.